Well, this morning we'll be in chapter 42, correct?
Correct.
Seems like it's been a long time since we've met, but it hasn't been that long, but it just seems like it. Okay, I'm going to read the chapter first. It's not too long. Verse 1, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment to truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing, let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against the enemies. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up their herbs. And I will make their rivers islands and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back, they shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, you are gods. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you observe us not, opening the ears, but you hear not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers, for a spoil, and none says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for a time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient to his law. Therefore he has poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart." Boy, some good stuff in this one. Good stuff. We got to realize that this is speaking about external or internal. What are we speaking about? God is speaking internally to us. He says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold." Well, that word uphold really should be sustain. I sustain him. Isn't he our sustainer? He's our provider. He's our everything. And he said, he's my elect, my chosen one. Wonder who that is? Christ. See, that's the Christ, the many-membered body of Christ. Each and every one is his chosen one. right? It goes right along with the wave offering, where the priest, the representative of God, goes out and picks each individual stalk and binds them together and lifts them up in the crucifixion. That's the Christ, okay? We have to be able to see these things. We need to see them to understand, okay? And you can't see them if God doesn't let you. He said, I have put my spirit up on him. Well, you know, I don't see it that way. He says, first I want to pass something. He said, in whom my soul delights. I passed a little piece there. This word soul here is not soulish. Do you think God is a mixture of anything?
No.
He is spirit, right? So what it should say, this in whom my inner being, okay, it delights. So he said his innermost part is delighted in his elect people. And he says, I have put my spirit not upon him, but in him. See, it's in him. It's in these people. It's in this group of people that he chose as first fruit. I put my spirit in them. You didn't beg God to do it. You didn't earn your way into it, did you? That was a sovereign choice of God, a divine choice he chose before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1. We were chosen in him before the conception of the world, okay? He shall bring forth what? Judgment to the Gentiles. Now, do you think he's saying, now most people read this in a negative way and say, he's going to judge the Gentiles. No, he's going to bring judgment to them. He's going to let them know that there is a positive and a negative. Because the Gentiles have always been cast out as far as religion's concerned, haven't they? And he's going to tell them, I'm going to bring you judgment. I'm going to bring you justice. And when God gives you your justice, he's going to say, not guilty. Correct? Because of what first fruit have done. The first fruit is going to bring justice to the whole of humanity, are they not? Isn't that what he did? He died for the sins of the whole world. Is it not the first fruit that's going to do the remainder, which is a greater work than what he said he did? Come on.
Justice to the nations.
But those nations are the Gentile nations. If you look at the language, it's the Gentile nations. And he shall not cry. Now, this is internal, really internal. This is for you as a first fruit son of God. That word he is you. You shall not cry nor lift up nor cause your voice to be heard in the street. That means you're not going to be complaining about what you're going through for God and for the rest of the world. Do you hear me? No complaints. A bruised reed shall he not break. And the smoking flax, and that word flax is really a smoking wick, like on a candle. If there's any hope of life in there, just a little smoke, I'm not going to put it out. Doesn't that sound like reconciliation to you?
That light's still there.
There's a little bit of light there. God can make it anything he wants to. And didn't he say he put that in every man? He gave a little bit to all humanity. He gave life and hope to all, didn't he? It'll get there. He's not going to let any of them go. And Jesus said, whatever you've given me, I've lost none. And he shall bring forth justice, right? A verdict to truth. The verdict will bring out the truth. When he says not guilty, what is that?
Not guilty.
It's the truth. That's what God has said. He'll bring the justice, and when he brings that verdict, not guilty, it'll be the truth and you'll know it. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. Literally, that word discouraged should be crushed. He'll never be crushed till he has set the verdict, not judgment, but the verdict in the earth. What are we made of? He didn't say he's going to put it on the earth. He said he was going to put it in the earth, didn't he? Where's the earth he's talking about? You. You as an individual. Me as an individual. And the eyes, or the isolated ones, shall wait for his love, not law. That word should be love. How about that? They're not going to wait for the law. They're waiting for the love. See, the isolated ones. Who is the isolated ones? Who is that? It's first fruit. The ones are scattered throughout the earth. And they're isolated. Do you ever been in a room full of people and feel like you was the only one there?
No,
no one sees you. You see everybody, but they don't see you. You're not even there all the time. It's okay. It's a normal thing. See, it's okay. That's just a sign to you, let you know where you're at. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, okay? And he spread forth the earth. Now, what do you think we're really talking about the big globe we're walking on? He spread forth the earth. We are the earth. We're made from the earth, aren't we? And he spread us. Didn't he tell Adam, go forth and multiply and replenish the earth? Didn't he tell him to do that? See? So he spread us forth over the earth. Even the Tower of Babel, he scattered people all over the place, didn't he? So it's a process. And that which comes out, that comes out of it, literally, and that which is produced offspring is what it should say. Where it says come out of it should be the produced offspring. So you and your offspring will be scattered all over the earth.
Seed.
Yep. He that gives breath, and that's the spirit, unto people in it. Right? The spirit to them that walk in it. Walk in what? Think about that a second. What's he saying? I'm going to give the spirit to them that walk in it. In it what?
Walk in the spirit.
So if you walk in the spirit, if you live in the spirit, that's what he's saying. That's the ones that's going to receive it. Because if you don't receive what God gives you, when he tries to give you something, what would he waste his time trying to pour it out on you? He's not going to. He knows what you're going to do, and he's going to give it to those that will walk in it. And in verse 6 he goes on and says, I the Lord have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you, not for a covenant, I'll give you a covenant. To the what? To the people, right? And the word for shouldn't even be there on both as for a covenant or for a light. He says, I'll give you a covenant and a light to the Gentiles or to the Gentile nations. The Christ has come to be a covenant. Wasn't Jesus the one, the Christ in him, that brought the covenant? That was the sacrifice. That was the cutting of the flesh. Wasn't his flesh given? There was this. There was the covenant. And he said, for a light. And didn't Jesus say, I am a light? And that was the Spirit of God in him speaking, the Christ, that said, I am the light that came from above that lights every man that comes into the world. So, doesn't this make sense? That he was a light to the Gentile nations? No problem. He's got them all. And he said, and here's why he gave you to be that covenant and to be a light to the Gentile nations. To open blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prison or the dungeons.
Spiritually.
Them that sit in darkness, and that word darkness is literally ignorance. Them that sit in ignorance out of the prison house. You know what the prison house is? It's not the Baptist church, the Catholic church, the Pentecostal church, and all that stuff. It's your own mind that those church denominations and doctrines that men have produced and manufactured, they have put you in that prison in your mind. We're talking internal here. And you allowed it because you were in ignorance. Ignorance is not a bad word. Hear it. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge, enough knowledge to make an educated determination. All you need is a little information to go along with it, and everything will be fine. Stupid goes to the grave with you.
Wasn't he just prior to speaking about the dimly lit wick?
Yep, he said he wouldn't let it go out, though.
No.
He didn't let it go out. He'll light that thing when he's ready. He'll fan it. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name. That's my nature, that's my character. And my glory, okay, will I not give to another. You know what that means? He's not going to give it to the natural man, Adam. There's two men in the earth, right? Adam and Christ. Adam don't get it. A natural man receives what from the Spirit of God?
Nothing.
Nothing. Neither can he. It's spiritually discerned. So the natural man receives nothing, but the Christ man receives it. Why? Because you're one. Because you're part of him.
So the carnal man will not receive.
The carnal man receives nothing. The Adam man receives nothing. The first man has to be removed. He's dead. Neither my praise to graven images or idols. Now those are, could be, here do you think?
We agree.
We form and shape and grave our idols in our own minds. And we think, and the greatest idol there is thinking that your way, or me thinking my way, is the only way there is. That's the greatest idol we have to deal with, is self.
That puts you in a box.
Yeah. Well, you put yourself in that box, thinking that I am the only one has got it right. Well, there's a lot of people that believe that. And I know it's not true. Anyone that says that, you best get away from them, because that person is insane. Yeah. Well, most churches are. If you look up the definition of a cult, you'll find churches fit right in the middle of it. Verse 9 says, behold, the former things are come to pass. And he said, new things I'm going to declare, because before they spring forth, I'm going to tell you about them. So he said, I'm going to tell you things that you don't know. And what he's going to tell you about is this new covenant. Okay? Because they had no idea there was another covenant coming, did they? They didn't know anything about new things. All they knew about was the former things, about the law. And he says, and that's us waking up. See, that's the new covenant he's telling us. And he says, sing to the Lord a new song. Well, you know, in Revelation it says they were singing a new song, didn't they? Except no one knew except those that sang it. See? That's in Revelation 5, 9 and Revelation 14, 3. And there's also a reference in Psalm 4 about the new song. Let me read that to you. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Is that what I said? I said that. I don't know if I got that wrong or not.
What verse did you
say? I said 4 or 3. I don't know why I wrote that down.
Is there Psalm 43?
There's a Psalm 40, verse 3. I don't know. Yep, that's it. That's it. I just shortened my writing. It is 40, verse 3. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Thank you, Lisa. You did straighten me out there. I missed one little zero. Changes things. Yeah, it changes a whole bunch. I need to straighten that out before I go on so I don't...
So
I don't repeat that mistake. I missed something there. My fault. Apologize for that. Okay. In Revelation 5, 9, see, he said he's going to put the song in your mouth. What did you have to do with it? Nothing. That's what I'm saying. God's doing everything for us, and we want to take credit for everything. Revelation 5, verse 9 says this, and they sang a new song, and right there I have Psalm 40 written right over this verse. Psalm 40, verse 3. I just miscopied it wrong. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God through your blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And Revelation 14, verse 3, it says, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled by women, by the soulish realm, the church. For they are virgins. They were faithful. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among humanity, being the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And if that isn't clear, then they ain't got no ears to hear, do they? It says, I'll do verse 10 again. It says, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the end of the earth. You that go down to the sea, humanity, where did we come from? Didn't we come from above and came down to this realm? We come from the higher realm of spirit into the lower realm of humanity. Okay? And all that is therein, the isles or the isolated ones and the inhabitants thereof. He's saying everybody that came down came from the spirit realm. We were with him before the foundations of this world, right? Let the wilderness or the desert and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar does inhabit. Do you know what Kedar means? Kedar means dark or a son of Ishmael. It represents ignorance. Okay? The villages that Kedar or ignorance does inhabit. Ignorance inhabits most villages, doesn't he? Most dwelling places, okay? Let the inhabitants of the rock, wonder what that is.
Now, it says Selah.
Yeah, that the inhabitants of the rock, well, but the word literally rock, guess what it means? Who is the rock? 1 Corinthians 4:10. Christ is the rock. See, Christ is the rock that followed him through the desert. Sing, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. If you live in Christ, then what should you be doing? Singing. Singing his song. Let them shout from the tops of the mountain, Mount Zion, the highest realm. Let them speak from the realm of the Spirit. See, that's what he's really saying. Let the Spirit lead you and guide you and direct you in your paths every day. It's not about what you read out of a book. It's not about somebody's new book being written. You know, it's not about any of this stuff. And all this stuff points to the glory of man when they do something that's greater than what someone else did in that competition realm. It's all pointing to the glory of man. And he said, my glory is not going to that man. My glory is going to my son who is part of me. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Okay? Let them declare his praise in the isolated ones. Who are we talking about again? The first fruits are the ones that's going to declare it. Nobody else can. If you don't hear it in yourself, you can't declare it, can you?
No.
The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up not jealousy, but zeal, like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, he shall roar. He will prevail against his, what?
Adversary,
singular. No S on the end of it. The only adversary you got's the one you got between your ears. The carnal mind. That's right. Slap her and tell her to shut up. Okay, verse 14. I have a long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. And the King James says, I will destroy and devour at once. And that's not what it literally says. It should say, I will pant and gasp at once. Like a travailing woman. A woman having a child is not going to destroy and devour anything. She's hurting. She's caught up in her delivery, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she will pant and gasp, I promise you. If you've ever been present at one of them, you would know that. Lots of panting and gasping and screaming going on. I will make waste mountains and hills. All he's speaking about there, mountain and hill, speaks of governments. Okay, I'm going to take care of their government. I'm going to take care of all the religious government that's been built up in your mind. When I left the church system, the pastor I sat under called all the time. He called me several times and said, well, brother, I'm concerned about you because you need a covering. I really do? I said, I got one. He said, well, who's that? And I said, Christ. And he said, oh, no. You've got to have a man as your covering. You've got to have an organization as your covering. I said, well, that's good for you, but it's sure not good for me. I prefer to take Christ as my covering. He's the head of all humanity according to the scriptures. So I don't need somebody else to set over me, to lord over me that they're better and superior to me and they need all my finances so you can go spend it and have fun. I don't need that. That took care of that. That ended. Didn't bother calling back no more.
Well, God just leveled the playing field and mm-hmm.
cleared all that. That's what he's doing. He said, and I will make the rivers islands. Now, let me show you what it really says. He said, I'll make the rivers dry land, not islands. And so he's telling you, I will make the source. The river is a source, isn't it?
Yes.
He said, I'll make your source dry land. You're not connected to the Spirit. You're an Adam man. You're a natural man. And that's why you're going to find out what your source is. It's dry land, and dry land can't produce anything, can it, without a source of water or word, can it? And I will dry up the pools or the marshes. So even the little tiny pools that's left out of the remnants of your thinking process that can still drag you back into religion, he said, I'm going to dry them all up. There you go. I mean, that ought to make everybody happy. I'm going to get every bit of that stagnant water that's standing around in your minds. That's a good thing.
You can't grow anything.
You can't grow anything unless I put the water on it.
That's right.
Because there's nothing left in humanity. And I will. Look at all these I wills. And guess who's speaking these? God's speaking them to you. I will bring the blind by a way or a course of life that they knew not. When you're blind, you've got to be kind of dependent on somebody, don't you? So if you let God lead you along the way he wants to lead you, everything's going to be all right. He said, I'm going to take you in a way that you knew not, and I will lead you in paths that they have not known. And I will make darkness, that's ignorance, into illumination before them or in their presence. And crooked things will be straight. And these things, and this word things here is the word debar. And these words will I do to them and not forsake them. See the guarantee he gave you? I'm going to do this for you. You don't have to worry. I'll never forsake you. Man, that'll make you happy. You know how many people need to hear this? The whole world? But most of them can't hear it. But the sons of God that he has chosen need to hear this. It's free. You're free. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of it. God's telling you, I'm going to do it. You don't have to worry about a thing. I won't forsake you.
We have to remind ourselves.
That's exactly right. We got to remind ourselves. That little pool of stagnant water in the back of our brain that keeps telling us we got to do this or that, or you better do this, or oh, God might be mad at you, and all these foolish things.
Yeah. The world tries to pull you back into it. And
sure.
You need that to pull yourself above it again.
Absolutely. You can walk above it. Verse 17, he says, and they shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images. Now, most people think graven images is something carved out of a block of wood with gold or silver thrown over it or something like that. But this is mental images that you've carved out in your own thinking process. Okay? And say, they that trust in those images that you have, rather than testing them and seeing where they came from, most people's afraid to. And I've said this for years, if anything that I have in my, I don't use the word belief system anymore, in my knowing system, if something's there, if I'm afraid to set it out in front of anybody in the face of this earth and say, you go ahead and inspect it, then I'm already deceived. If I'm ashamed to set out and say, this is what I know, I won't say it's what I believe, because I know you can believe anything you want to. But my knower knows what I'm talking about. And when I can set it out there and say, go ahead and investigate it. If you can prove me wrong, I'll hug your neck and thank you for it. I won't strangle you. I'll hug you in love and give you a kiss and thank you for straightening me out. I don't need accusation. My adversary will do that with no cost or effort at all. I don't need someone else to condemn me. All I want you to do, if you got something I haven't got, I want you to give it to me, because I'll give you everything I got. But they trust in these things, mental visions they have or belief systems they have, that say to the molten images, you are gods.
Okay. They name them.
Yeah. You make it a god because of what you think about it. And see, when you say I think or I believe, to me it tells me you have not finished your thinking process yet. When you get to the end of thinking and believing, you'll come to knowing. And when you know him, know him.
Still deliberating.
Yeah, so you're not finished. You shouldn't speak until you know, should you? Verse 18, it says, hear ye deaf, and look you blind, that you may see. It says, hear ye deaf, and look at you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servants? Or deaf as my messengers? That's the same word everybody wants to translate angels. Same word, malak. 4397 in the Greek, the Hebrew dictionary in Strong's. He said that my messenger that I sent. He said my messenger that I sent. My servants are blind and deaf. Now watch. Who is blind as he that is perfect, or literally at peace, and blind as the Lord's servant? Said who is more blind than them? Nobody. Seeing many things, but you observe not. Opening the ears, but you hear not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. I said snake, didn't I? His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, okay? The Torah. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable or magnificent. Do you know what that means? He's going to take the Torah, which everybody tries to live by, the letter of the law, the Hebrew letter and symbols and codes, and he said, I'm going to magnify it. What he did is he made the new covenant out of it. All he did was reveal what he said back there. Because of the legalism that was in the Jewish minds, of their laws and rules and regulations, they made the law a bad thing. They made the law a curse because they didn't live it. They just told people to live it. So it became a curse. And he made it honorable. He made it magnificent. And the new covenant is magnificent.
It's a new covenant's love.
Sure it is. It's magnificent, isn't it? But this is the people robbed and but this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. How many of them? All of them. We've all been there, haven't we? And they are hid in prison houses in our own minds, aren't we? We've all been in those prison houses. They are all for prey and none delivers them. For a spoil and none says restore. Nobody wants to put them back like they were. They just want to go on and get what they can get for themselves. Isn't that the world today?
Yep.
Isn't that the church world today?
Yep. Give us more.
More. Okay, verse 23. Who among you will give ear to this? Uh-oh. Who's going to hear it?
His servant.
Only his first fruit servants. The ones that he creates the hearing ear in and the seeing eye. Only one. See, so we can't speak this to everybody because everybody won't hear it. Right? No, the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it's spiritually discerned. They can't do it. He says in the rest of that verse, he says, who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who's going to hear this in the time to come? Only the ones that God creates that ear in. See? Not everybody. And who would even understand that this was written back then for today? They didn't understand that. They were living then. They didn't care about future. They were living right then.
They're calling it a history book.
Yeah. It's not a history book. It's not a poetry book. It's a now book. It's a life book. He said, who gave Jacob for a spoil? This is God saying, who did it? He's saying he did it. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers. Now, Jacob was the first man. Was he not? Was he not the natural man?
Right.
The conniver, the trickster, the supplanter?
Mm-hmm.
And who was Israel?
The one that was changed.
He was the one changed by God. But look what he said. He gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers.
Mm-hmm.
Did not the Lord, he against whom we have all sinned, because they would not walk or live in his ways or his course of life, neither were they obedient to his law. And that word obedient is the word shama. They would not hear his law and with the intent to be responded in a positive way. That robber in John 10 was not the devil. The robber is this thing right up here, right between our ears. See, he gave us over to that carnal mind, didn't he? Didn't Paul say he turned them over to Satan for the buffeting of the flesh?
Mm-hmm.
That word Satan is the same, means the same as devil.
Wasn't that just an external?
No, that was an example of what's going on internal, and we're talking internal. See, so he said they would not hear his law. He gave them a law they could have lived by if they would have listened, right?
Love.
But they wouldn't do it. It was even love in the law, but they wouldn't do it, so it became a curse to them. Therefore, he has poured upon him, upon Jacob, and who does Jacob represent? Me, you, right? We should all put ourselves in this. See, the book I preach out of is not King James. The book I preach out of is the book of Dave. And the one you read, it should be what? The book of me, whoever you are. You should say, this is the book of me. This is telling me about me. This is my principles that I need to assimilate into my understanding. Right? I need to absorb this into me and understand it. So He said, therefore he has poured upon me the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Why? He had no ears and he had no eyes. See, the whole world's going through the same temptations and the same struggles we are. Isn't that right? But the difference is we understand that God is doing it for us, not to us. Right? All the struggles we have in life are not being done to us, but for us. The world sees them and says, look what they're doing to us. Look at the wars. Look at the economy. Look at the price of gas. Look at the price of everything. Hey, everybody in the world gets it. But how is our outlook at it? What is our outlook about the world? I'm in it, but I'm not of it. They can do whatever they want. I didn't vote for any of them. And they ain't got anybody I would vote for because I won't vote. I've already voted for my vote. My vote's for God. See? End of the story. I don't have to vote. He's king, and it wasn't my vote that got him there. I think he set himself up, didn't he?
Don't need no votes.
He don't need no votes. Don't need no stinking votes. See? All we got to do is know they can't hear, so they're going to continue on in that cycle. They can't get out of the wheel. See? They're still caught in that wheel of life. They can't get out. And until God lets them out, they're not coming out. You can't beg him. You can't do anything to make him do anything. All you can do is respond to his drawing of you. And like the book says, you love him because he first loved us. Right? We love him because he first loved us. Isn't that true? And until that time comes, guess what? You can't do anything about it but just complain. And remember what he said? His voice would never be heard in the streets. He'd never be crying and complaining. Well, that's something we got to take to heart. If we're going to be different from the world, and we are called to be different from the world, are we not? We've got to do something and react differently to the things that they go through. If I go through something bad and I act like the worldly people, then how would they know I'm any different? It's a sign to those people when they see somebody says, hey, it's okay, God's in control. This is for my purpose. Maybe I'm going through it, not even for me, but for them to see me go through it and go through it positively to encourage them. There must be something that I haven't got yet and have a desire. I want more. I'm willing to tear down my idols, my graven images, and let myself hear what the living God wants to say to me today. I'm not bound by letters on a page.